What's happening, everybody? It's another episode of Icy Takes with your boys, Zach, Jeff, and Big Dave. I think it's been a while since I've given ourselves the introduction of your boys, but I think it fits for this week because, you know, we had, I would assume, from all three of us, a pretty decent weekend just because of mainly what beer we took in and just, I don't know, I'm assuming being with your girlfriends or with your friends, etc. I think we all had pretty good weekends. Would we all agree?
100%.
Absolutely.
Great synopsis. Great analysis, guys.
do we want to get into it at all? Or are we going to give details here?
I was going to say, I don't want to bore the audience.
One word answer, just like a period at the end of it.
I mean, I figured one of you guys would have at least had, you know, hey, no, it was a really good weekend. Thank you for asking, instead of just a one word answer.
Well, you kind of put it out to like the whole group and like didn't like single anybody out. So I feel like that's a confusion there.
That makes sense. Now, I'll put Jeff on the spotlight then. How are you doing? How was the weekend?
Oh, the weekend was great. I went up to my girlfriend's family's cabin up in a small town of like Marionville, like that area. It's like near Clarion, probably about, I don't know, 25 minutes from Clarion. Had a good time. The thing about this place is that when you get about 5 minutes out from where the cabin actually is, you lose cell service. So, like, you don't have cell phone. There, like, her cabin doesn't have running water. So, you're, like, really roughing it in the woods and everything. There's a nice little creek that gets deep enough that you can swim in. So, definitely, like, an outdoorsy-type weekend. Shot some guns. Did the Second Amendment thing. That was cool. So, yeah, I mean, it was a fun weekend. And we have a plan to go back, I think, at the end of the month with all of our cousins. They do, like, a camp out at one of the campsites up there. And probably going to be more of the same. So I look forward to it. But yeah, it was a pretty cool weekend to just kind of, like, go off the grid for about 24 to 48 hours or so. It was kind of fun.
Sounds like a fun trip, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
To do your Second Amendment.
Yeah, the Second Amendment, right. That was pretty cool. But yeah, like, I was really worried, like, going in, like, how I would do with, like, out my phone. Like, I didn't think I would, like, freak out about it or anything. But, like, it got to the point where, like, I just, like, put my phone, like, in her, like, glove box or whatever in her car. And, like, I just didn't think about it. It was nice to just, like enjoy your time with the people that you're around and not, like, be buried in your phone or worrying what's going on in the news or anything like that.
I give you mad respect. Because the last time I was without my phone for more than 5 minutes, I think I had a panic attack. So more power to you, honestly.
I'll say the only reason I would not be a fan of that, and it's because I've already put so many days into this, the Snapchat streaks. When you have a ton of the, Zach, you're my next one. You're going to be the next 1,000 streak. You're going to be the third one, I believe.
We should like, live video that somehow, like when we send the snaps from like both ends and like record it, like let everyone know.
There's a way you can like screen record yourself on like the iPhone at least. I don't know about Dave's.
I did it one time. It takes a lot of
team phone, but you should be able to do that on the iPhone.
I'll let you handle it.
So Jeff, going off of what Dave's excellent point, do you not do snap streaks, or did you just not care to lose them?
I just like I don't know like. Snapchat's really weird for me because, like, it's cool, but, like, half the time I don't even know what to, like, to respond to, like, the stuff that I get. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's...
That's understandable.
It's like, okay, cool, you're on a boat on a lake somewhere with your buds. That's cool. I'm not there, but, you know, that's cool for you. I don't know what to respond to stuff.
I understand that, but I also think it's important that if you do have a streak with someone, they're not exactly snapping you for the sake of showing you their life. They're snapping you to get their 1 in 24 hours in, so that your number
that's
goes up.
That's usually all it is.
Dave, right, I'll be honest with you. I love you. I love your daily jam sessions, but if you think I listen to the full video, you're absolutely ridiculous.
No, Zach, you would be probably 90%.
I'm just owning up to it.
No, I completely understand. It was a way for me to get the snap out there daily without forgetting.
Yeah, and I give you props for that. The same way you probably don't want to look at my grill or my stove or my microwave or my beer, but it's how I communicate through Snapchat.
But if it's but if it's Max, I'm all eyes.
Oh yeah, 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 Max. Oh boy. For those who don't know, Max is my 6-year-old black lab that is an absolute unit. Used in several streak picks. So yeah, shouts to Max.
Zach, you next. Now, I think you had a decent beer over this weekend.
Yeah, so let me kind of break it down by day, just because, you know, some days had their ups, some days had their downs. So I will shout out this beer because it's what I did first on the weekend. You know, work's been absolutely crazy. On Fridays, I like to kick it, like to have a beer or two. I've been going to Spoonwood Brewing in Bethel Park. Shouts to them. Shouts to them. They actually partnered with Bethel Bakery recently and collaborated on a beer called Lemon Glazed, and it literally tastes like a lemon donut. It is a 6%. I believe they categorize it as a cream ale, but it literally tastes like a lemon donut. And to say that I've had a few of them is an understatement, but I checked back and it's already off draft, so it was that limited. So I picked up, what was it, 3-4 packs on top of my a couple crowlers worth. So I have a lot of it stored up. I am going to Virginia Beach on Thursday, and let's just say there'll be some on the road. So very much looking forward to that. To piggyback off that, I assume weekend goes up until the show starts, to be honest with you, because I made a steak on the grill tonight that I just wanted to talk about a little bit. I didn't do my traditional, you know, just grill it and then throw some potatoes and, you know, peas or corn together. I made the KFC famous bull version of the steak, as in I grilled it, cut it up, threw it with Bob Evans mashed potatoes. How are you? Corn. And then I tossed some shredded cheese on top of that with a little bit of butter and stirred everything in together. And it was absolutely incredible, boys. Like, if you're ever grilling and you just, like, want to be creative, do a famous bowl or something like that. And if you like chicken, maybe do some, like, buffalo sauce and some ranch or something like that. But, yeah, big fan of my dinner tonight. Surprised I'm actually not asleep now. So, yeah.
Once we all get together for – I mean, now that we have hockey and baseball with the I won't say potential, eventual return to, if we ever get together, Zach is the cook, I vote, and I hope Jeff agrees.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
As long as we social distance, I will be down for that.
We can arrange that. So, boys, I love the weekend, but we ended up losing again, 2 games. Losing another doubleheader. We're actually having batting practice this Thursday. I won't be able to attend because I'm going camping. But yeah, that's how bad the bats are getting. We left a lot of runners on, and let me tell you guys, I never thought I would hit into a double play. It was the bottom of the first inning, bases loaded. I roped one down the third base line, and he touched third base and threw it to home plate because we have all force plays at home plate. So there's a line you have to cross rather than hitting the plate itself. So there's no injuries. It's a beer drinking league. We don't want to get hurt. We just want to drink. And so I hit into a double play my first at bat to end the inning. Next at bat with two runners on, I hit another rocket down the line, and the dude had a vacuum over there, picked it up again and tagged it out for the third out. Couldn't get any love. And then we ended up getting run ruled. It wasn't even like bad defensive plays. It was just them hitting the ball well. And then second game, we lose by a couple. But I eventually, the first time I get on base, I hit a very high fly ball. And I don't even like run it out. And then with like 2 feet in between the fence and the player, it somehow drops in between them. Like, huh. So I hit like the longest single, and I got hell for it because I didn't run it out. So I made sure on the next single in left field, I went first to third, and I made it there to kind of rub it in their face. Then I ended up hitting a 2-run shot, but we lost the games. So we got to fix something because we have a doubleheader this week, and then we got a bye week. So we got to go out with a bang.
Yeah, you can't drop 6 in a row going into a bye week.
No,
but
no.
I don't want to be all about the ego kind of guy, but I mean, it sounds like your bat's not the issue. I mean, you know, you could almost use that as a maintenance day.
I could have had runs, though. I could have had runs, and I left them on the board. I left five runners on in my first two at-bats in the first game.
I mean, it seems like a something that doesn't happen frequently for you. I don't think you're as much in the funk as well as much as your team is. I could be wrong, but
we all need to improve because I didn't get a hit the first game, and if we want to go back to the previous week, I didn't get a hit in the second game of the doubleheader. So I went back to back games without a hit. So I'm not going to agree with you here.
It sounds like, though, like I kind of agree with Zach, though. It sounds like, as Clint Hurdle would say, you're barreling the ball pretty well. So I wouldn't change a whole lot with what you're doing. Maybe you might have to take a leadership role of maybe being a vocal leader and kind of getting your guys going. And they might be down the dumps a little bit, but maybe a little bit of tough love might help the boys out a little bit. And girls, you, I don't know if it's co-ed lead.
I cannot repeat what I said. Being the vocal leader that I attempted to be yesterday, but I was making the attempt because there was some girlfriends and wives trying to have me kind of spice up everyone to, you know, get back into it and kind of pick their heads up. But the beer was flowing. It was definitely flowing. That
the lucky
morning.
Streak was doing well.
Here's the thing.
Did you drop Lucky Streak?
Oh, boy.
No, I didn't. It's just I couldn't find any in the cooler after the first one that I had. So basically, I was just drinking Miller Lite, and I'm not a fan.
So essentially what you're saying is your decline in play might be due to Miller Lite.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Well, that makes so much more sense now.
Big Beer has struck its ugly head again.
And because I won't be at batting practice Thursday, I'm going to give the money to our coach and say, here's the 30 rack of Lucky Streak. Make sure that's the only one in there.
Well, it looks like you're going to have a solid outing next time. So, I mean, you know, as long as you get right with Lucky Streak, then you should be good to go again.
True. We play at 12:30 as well. So we're getting out of the morning games. We're getting out of being the first games of the day. And let's see if maybe it's just early morning jitters that has our bats cold.
Is there a stream where I can find the game? Because, you know, I can find myself watching the game sometimes.
I wish I could even lie, but no.
Oh, man. Zach, we could do like a Brockmire-style softball broadcast. That'd be great.
Sign me up.
Honestly, just bring a sound system and go nuts.
The reason I ask is because my buddies play at deck hockey. I think it's North Hills Deck now. And like, it's just some rinky-dink, like, little place. And yet they have, like, cameras above the boards. And they have, like, a Twitch stream where you can watch the game. So I'd be remiss if I didn't turn on the game sometimes on a Friday night when they said they were playing when I'm at the bar. And I'm like, oh, look, they all suck. But, I mean, like, I was just curious if you guys did anything like that. That's awesome.
No, I would say that it's easier in the hockey, let's just use the word arenas, because I think you're closer to power units than you are outside at a softball field.
That's fair. I just, you know, just had to ask the question, because if I could watch you play, I would.
I would make sure you would see the beer bongs, too.
Wow.
Okay. All right. So let's try to run a show here. I think that's always a good way to talk about how we run these shows, is an attempt to run a show. Do we want to get into the hockey first or the baseball first? Because I think we might have a little bit more with hockey this week. What are we feeling?
Let's get into hockey first.
That sounds good to me.
And I guess, like, really, we're in phase three now. This is, I believe, unprecedented by how Mr. Bettman and his cronies are running the show now, you know, during this pandemic and how they're attempting to get back into the league. This is being run very more efficiently than I would have ever guessed. What do you guys think?
I couldn't agree more. I mean, when this came like on our plates, pretty much this whole global pandemic and everything, who would have thought the NHL would come out looking as beautiful as ever with basketball. I mean, Russell Westbrook and James Harden didn't even get on the airplane to go to the bubble yet. And I guess Russell Westbrook tested positive for COVID. That just dropped, I think, about an hour ago. But for them to come out looking as flawless as they did, and to get, as we talked about last week, to get the extra 5 years on their current CBA, yeah, the NHL, I think, has came out looking as perfect as ever right now with all the terrible going on in the world. For them to come out in a positive note and be probably the most secure league right now, it looks pretty good for the NHL right now.
Yeah, going off of what Jeff said, it's actually hard to imagine we're talking about the NHL being the being in this situation, whereas having agreed to more labor peace on top of a return to play plan, all together pretty much, and just the way this return to play plan has come together, and just how things are shaping out. Knowing what I know about the NHL and what they've had to do in the past and what they've gone through, I really can't believe it's the NHL. So I'm really actually happy. You know, I don't think we're completely out of the woods in terms of like this game actually getting started. And that's out of the NHL's control. That's pretty much the world dictates that. But overall, I mean, I think they're the best in the best spot right now out of all major sports.
So we don't get to get our first taste of action until August 1st, because I believe today was the start of phase three, with going into training camps, the official training camps, where I guess you can have the full teams out there rather than just have, you know, six people at a time without a coach, you know, finger quotes, without a coach. But it seems to me like they're finding their niche to get through all the positive tests, because I believe 43 players tested positive during phase two, which is, as we talked about earlier, like a 1%, maybe 1.5% of the whole NHL. So of everyone getting tested as often as they did, that's pretty damn good for as much of a contact sport as this is. Now, if they can make sure that going into these bubbles like Toronto and Edmonton, that they're essentially 99% clean, because I don't think you can be 100% clean going into these bubbles and have no one have any symptoms without knowing going in and get a couple players that get it while they're in the bubbles. I think that will happen. But I think they're on their path to being like 99% clean and having this thing pretty much go up with a bang.
Yeah, I think it from the consensus I've been reading through, like, and I mean, it's kind of tough to get a read on this because like the media is not allowed to talk to like the players or coaches, really. Like, they're not allowed in the locker rooms or anything. But from what people have been saying, it's if they can get to the hub cities, like you said, at 99%, like, it seems like everything will be okay. It's just a matter of just getting through these next 2 weeks, and then they should be good to go. So I think that's what keeps everybody kind of on their toes right now, is like, just make sure we do our part here. And then once we get into the hub cities and that quote unquote bubble, that's when we can kind of, not let our hair down, but we can kind of take a breath and say, okay, now we can really, really control what goes on in these hub cities and kind of keep an eye on everybody all at once.
Yeah, I echo those points exactly. I think these next 2 weeks with phase three are the most critical, because this is where you can keep the virus under control. You know, you keep the testing, and, you know, as you guys said, the positive tests have been super low. So it's just a matter of getting to the hub cities. And once you're at the hub cities, you can pretty much isolate and, you know, you're in your own little bubble. So I do expect that, like, you know, players are going to test positive. But I think the way that the NHL is set up, and even sports in general, I, you know, you have to play through it to an extent. And I don't know. Like, I think the NHL has done very well. So they can keep this contained, then August 1st looks like a go for the qualifying round.
So I think we can kind of hold off our predictions as we get closer to August 1st. And I think we already went into some dark horses that are like kind of outside of the top eight, like seeds 9 through 12, going into this play in and see who can make a deep run. But one thing to note, I think, that is kind of worthwhile is that having one of the biggest stars in the league, Austin Matthews, test positive, and he's now looking, he's feeling better, feeling healthy, and I think has done his time to kind of social distance and quarantine himself, and now looks, he had a full participation in the first day of camp. So Austin Matthews is back, which I think is, having those bigger stars play for the NHL is going to be critical for those TV ratings, because we've already seen like one or two players, I think, opt out of the playoffs, so they won't even be in this little, what, COVID cup, as we call it.
Yeah, I mean, I know, at least for the Canadians, I know I heard Carl Alsner opt out today, and Max Domi is TBD. I guess he's got 7 to 10 days to figure out what he wants to do and what the doctors say, if he should play or not, because he suffers from diabetes, so. He's got a really high risk if he would play. But I mean, from, like you said, Dave, I don't think we've really had any besides Austin Matthews, which I think he got it pretty early on. Like, it's not like he's just recovering. Like, I'm pretty sure he had it pretty early on.
He was one of the first.
Yeah. So like, I think that's one thing that the, like you said, the NHL kind of has going for it right now, is that like, there hasn't been like a big name, you know, knock on wood. I don't know if you guys can hear that, but I just knocked on some furniture here in my room that, like, you know, God forbid Sidney Crosby would get it, or, you know, Alex Ovechkin. Well, no, that's not a good joke. But, you know, hopefully, like, none of the big stars for the sake of the league would get the virus or anything, because that could not only hurt those teams themselves, but also the league with, like you said, ratings and people's interest in the league.
We were talking about this with my buddies yesterday, just because you brought up players having it. How many times, if he was still in the league, do you think Bo Bennett would have had COVID at this moment? Like, I think he would have got it at least twice, recovered, and then got it again. Like, it just, yeah.
That poor guy would have gotten it, recovered, gotten it again, and then he would have contracted it to Sid. Like, that's how much bad luck that kid had.
Well, it's funny. You perfectly segued into what we were talking about next. Is just, you know, it's going to be a pivotal game for the Penguins. And Crosby or Malkin aren't going to be feeling well, and it's going to be game over. Like, we were literally talking about, oh, okay, well, they made it this far. But then you just know, with the Penguins' luck and with PBG Paints being built on, like, an Indian burial ground, that you know, just the luck that the Penguins have had over the years. It's almost like I expected someone to get it at a pivotal moment. God, I hope it's not any of the big stars. Like, if it was Jack Johnson or a Black Ace, like, sign me up. But, like, you just know how the Penguins are and how this stuff works. Like, I fully expect something like that to happen.
So, I don't know if I told this story, but the week that I had our hockey organization's tryouts, we're getting our like, new season underway and everything. I was sitting with, like, a couple evaluators at the tryouts, and it was right after the Penguins said, you know, we had someone that had gotten the virus and everything, and we're just spitballing, like, who do you think got it? And I was like, I don't know who got it, but, like, there's, like, two or three guys on the Penguins that I know I wish got it. Like, that sounds so bad, but, like, I don't think anybody would be like, oh, no, Jack Johnson got COVID. What are we going to do?
Yeah, and you know all those names that everyone suspects. That's actually really funny that you guys talked about that.
Yeah.
All right. So basically what we came to the conclusion was that we're excited for hockey to come back. Phase 3 is coming back. I don't really know if there's anything worthwhile that has happened over this past week that we could also talk about in the NHL, unless you guys can prove me wrong.
No, I mean, none of the new CBA, the NHL could be able to participate in the Olympics, which I think is big.
Oh, that as an American, like, I cannot be more excited for that. Because now, like,
as a Russian, I cannot be more excited for that.
But, like, finally, like, the Americans now, like, there's no reason that we have to play, like, the stupid, like, oh, we have to out-tough the Canadians to, like, be successful. Like, we can just play with our young talent just as much as the Canadians. Might have to work a little bit harder at it, but we should be right there. And, Zach, how do the Russians look going with all this? Because, I mean, you guys have a whole KHL to work with, but...
I was going to say, I haven't really read much about their team, but, you know, they always seem to have, like, a wild card of, like, some random players that are only KHL. Or guys that just seem to thrive in the KHL. And a few of them that I'm just trying to think of off the top of my head, they have a guy on there named, like, Kaprizov or something like that. I don't think he's ever played in the NHL, but I always see him whenever they're I've at least recognized that name in the Olympics. I think Gusev played for them last time, right? And then he came over here and signed with, what was it, the Knights, and then he went to, he went to the Devils,
yeah.
Obviously, they'll have Malkin, Panarin, Ovi, probably Ovi's last ride, and same with Malkin. Kucherov, I'm trying to think, Sveshnikov probably, Tarasenko. They're honestly going to be good. Like, I don't know. I don't know much about their defense. Trying to think of any Russian defensemen. Orlov and Provorov are probably the two I can give you off the top of my head right now. But
for the next Winter Olympics, though, I mean, that's gonna be like the swan song of, like, the Russians we grew up with, like Kovalchuk, Malkin, yeah. Ovechkin, like those guys. Those are gonna be their swan song, or they're going to maybe try and get one more where, like, they age out pretty much. Kind of like do the Auger thing where they play till 2026, but they all go back to the KHL or something. But yeah, I mean, it's so kind of a transitional period for you guys.
Yeah, I was going to say, actually, while you were talking, I looked up my projected lineup. Panarin, Malkin, Kucherov, line one. Line two is Ovechkin, Vadim Shipachev, and Sveshnikov. Line three, that Kirill Kaprizov, Artem Anisimov, who I guess still plays hockey, and Vladimir Tarasenko. Fourth line projected is Gusev, Telegrin, and Nichushkin. Spare forwards would be Dadonov, Kovalchuk. And they have listed that the final cuts would be Buknevich, Radulov, Gurianov, and a bunch of those that... Oh, Nemestikov and Gregorenko would be the other ones that you may recognize. Defense pairings, Provorov and Voinov, Orlov and Zaitsev, Sergachev and Artem Zub. And they project the goalies to be starting Andrei Vasilevsky with Igor Shesterkin and Ilya Samsonov backing up.
Yeah, your goaltending will be really, really good. The only thing I would say that you would have to watch out for is if they let Putin pick the team.
Oh, yeah, if that's the case. That's over.
Isn't Igor going to be the new star with the Rangers when King Henry
goes
down?
He's like the up-and-comer with Georgiev.
He's the reason they shop Lundqvist. Like, so, yeah, no, on paper, I mean, like, I don't know some of those, like, you know, forward guys, but, I mean, there's the guys that hang out in the KHL, but overall, like you said, it's going to be the Ovi Malkin swan song on top of, like, some young talent coming up, so, I mean, it'll be exciting nonetheless, but I mean, overall, just for all countries involved, seeing NHL players being able to participate is going to be huge.
Yeah, it seems like the Swedes and the Finns, too, should be a lot better, too. I mean, it seems like the Russians are, I mean, what were they called in the Olympics because they had all the sanctions and everything?
Oh,
athletes representing Russia or something like
that. Yeah, it was something really long and spelled out.
Yeah, like they were like they seemed like the only team that like really benefited from like NHLers not going. Everybody else took like a massive cliff fall.
Well, I don't know if you guys remember the last Olympics. Like, I wasn't even really into hockey just because the NHLers couldn't participate. Like, I don't – maybe that makes me a bad person or not.
No, I was the same way. The only thing I knew, it was, like, the Ilya Kovalchuk show, because he pretty much showed up to Center Ice Arena in Delmont and played against our C League.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I just remember there being games on wherever I was at, whether it would be home or at the bar, and I just couldn't find myself, like, interested. They'd pan up to the screen with the guy's name and number, and I'd be like, who the hell's that? Like, you know,
right.
For the sport in general, and, you know, hockey's kind of always been that sport that's been kind of craving the attention because it doesn't get the recognition it deserves, and sometimes that's their fault, sure, but this is a major step in getting that back, and at least for the viewership, so...
Right. One thing that I'm wondering about is, I know based off of this year with the pandemic and everything, hockey, what is, they're supposed to end this season like no later than October 31st, correct?
Correct. Yeah, I think the draft would be held like the first week of October.
Yeah, October 6th, I think, is draft.
So then for the next season, I think, are they expected to do like a January and do another shortened season, kind of like they did in 2013?
I think, is when they're going to have the beginning of the year. December 1, I think, is a projected start.
And then, kind of do like a shortened season like they did with 2013?
Probably. It'd probably be longer, though. I would think it'd probably be around, I would say probably around 78 games or so. Like, they're going to try and make it as long as possible without getting into July, because I would think that they would want to still have the draft. Because, like, realistically, you could have the draft, like, 2 days after the Cup Final.
Right.
So, like, I think they want to make sure they still have, like, that July 1st free agency date.
So, really, what I'm getting at is that, will the NHL be on their regular schedule for the 2021-2022 season when the Winter Olympics will start, which will be the winter of 2022?
I believe so, yes.
I would think, but I mean, I don't know. The NHL apparently still wants to play 82 games next year. I just don't think that's realistic, but I mean.
Yeah, and I think that's for another discussion, but if they do try to do an 82 game season for next season in 2021, it's not going to work out with trying to get back on track with the season after that to be within the same time frame that they have usually done it for, you know, decades. So that's the only question I wanted to bring up, is that will the NHL be on track with their season, hopefully when this all gets normalized and we don't have to constantly social distance. I think it's still recommended to do that even after this pandemic. I just want to see if the NHL can get back on track and then take that allotted time off for the Olympics, kind of like they did back in, what was it, 2018, when we didn't even watch it because none of the NHLers were in it.
I think that's completely different, though. I think you're talking apples and oranges there, because the fact that they are going to the Olympics and it's guaranteed, I think that does, I mean, I know we haven't seen it in years past, but I think the IOC is going to see such a difference, and you're going to have actual raw numbers that show the difference between having the NHLers there and not having it there, and I don't even know the whole deal that they've made with the IOC, if they have the rights to the video and everything, because that was always a big thing, but you're going to see the definite difference in the ratings with updated numbers. I mean, it's not like we're comparing, you know, what was it, 94, the last time they didn't go since 2018. Like, you're going to have a really close, like, within 8 years of each other, two Olympics that, you know, this is when we don't send guys, and now this is what you get when we do send guys.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But yeah, I just wanted to bring that up to see if they'll be back on schedule, and, you know, kind of what you said. Will it be better for the Olympics, which is an absolute yes. 100% yes. If there's one more thing that we just want to throw out there before having a small little bit of baseball talk, is that the Wild named their head coach, Dean Evason. He took over in February as the interim, and now they have taken off the interim title for himself. So that's not Billy Guerin's. This is Billy Guerin's first hire then for at head coach, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
So after getting rid of everyone's favorite, Bruce Boudreau, let's see if the Wild can turn it around here with that one individual. We saw it with the Blues last year, and I not that the Wild are going to shock the world, but I don't know. I kind of want to see Bill Guerin be successful in Minnesota, but I hate seeing Minnesota potentially be successful, if that makes sense.
I was going to say, I just root for Bill Guerin in general. I mean, Minnesota sucks, but, like, I don't know. Bill Guerin's just always been a likable guy, and I guess I look at what he did for the city of Pittsburgh, and I think Minnesota is so far off from being successful again that I just kind of root for the rebuild. By the time Minnesota does get good, the Penguins will be bad, so.
Yeah, I don't know. Minnesota's, like, one of those teams I just, like, I don't care if they're good, I don't care if they're bad.
Yeah.
Like, it's just one of those teams that's, like, what, like, I feel like they have a lot they need to figure out, and one of the biggest things they need is a true superstar to build around. And I think they definitely missed with Zach Parise, thinking he could be the guy, and he's just definitely not the guy. He's a great hockey player, but he's not a guy that can carry a team like they thought he could.
Well, good news, because he's only got about 7 more years left on that deal.
Yeah, him and Ryan Suter.
Ryan Suter, yeah.
One other thing, too, if we're good to move on from the Wild.
Yeah.
The Devils also announced their coaching vacancy was filled. Lindy Ruff got the coaching job in New Jersey. I think the last job he had before that as a head coach, I believe, was Dallas, and most famously was the Buffalo Sabres head coach throughout, like, the 90s, and took them to a Stanley Cup and ran into the Penguins a couple times as well.
I just want to say about that, and maybe you guys agree, but the NHL is, like, in terms of recycled coaches, is absolutely incredible. Like,
it is.
Honestly just like some giant carousel. And it's like, oh, Lindy Ruff landed on Devils. And it's like, oh, okay. Like, and it's almost like, where's he going to go next? It's just one of those things where that's just going to be his bridge team for a couple years. Something will happen. He'll get fired or he'll choose to move on. And it's, oh, okay, next up, and then he goes somewhere else. It's literally a carousel.
And what's crazy, too, is like, I feel like him and Bruce Boudreau are, like, the same coach, just separated by, what, we'll call it, what, 10 years?
And a couple hundred pounds.
Yeah, I mean, well, that wasn't, he didn't deserve that. But
he did.
But, like, Lindy Ruff never really won anything. Like, he had a lot of great teams in Buffalo, and granted, it was Brett Hull's foot in the crease. That's neither here nor there. That's another conversation. But like, he never won a cup. Like, he never really did anything with those teams in Buffalo that he had that were successful. So I don't know. Like, that's where I really agree with you, Zach, is like, you have these coaches that get recycled, but it's not like they ever win. Like, they're not, not like they're ever. It's not like, oh, I totally get why you would want to have Lindy Ruff behind your bench. It's kind of like, okay, maybe he has a good philosophy, but he's never won with it.
I mean, look, you had Laviolette, who was with the Flyers for how long, and most recently, because he got fired from Nashville this year, didn't he?
Yep, called that one.
You can't really say Alain Vigneault, because he was with the Rangers for his first job that I'm aware of, and then now it's in Philly.
But the one thing I'll give Alain Vigneault, though, is that at least he made it to, like, the final multiple times at multiple organizations where you're like, okay, I get how this guy wants to coach, and he's been successful. He may have not have won the cup there, but he was there at multiple times with different teams that he was that close. I mean, he lost in overtime to the Kings in New York, and then he lost in Game 7 to the Bruins. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, his resume backs up what he did. Lindy Ruff, like, never
the one run that the Sabres went on, and he had some good teams, but they ended up getting beat either in the second or third round of the playoffs.
So essentially, if Lindy Ruff would have made another final, he would have been up there with Vigneault?
I think so.
Okay. That's fair. I just want to say, I almost, and in hindsight, this is a huge mistake, but I was almost happy the Penguins hired Mike Johnson just because he wasn't a recycled coach, a WHL coach from the Portland Winterhawks. Like, you would have thought just some of the ideas and even style of play would have just been, like, unique instead of some guy that, you know, has been around the league like a coach slut for, like, you know, 8 to 10 years, winning really nothing if not being mediocre. So I was happy to see the Penguins went with an outside approach. It just clearly wasn't the right person.
Well, remember the rumors, too, they were supposedly going to be trying to get Mike Babcock. Like, thank God that
didn't happen. Oh, Lord, could you imagine?
Christ's sake, I mean, going from Dan Bylsma, who's like fun, happy, excitable and everything, then Mike Babcock, who, like, literally doesn't let anything fun happen around his team.
Hey, is Dan Bylsma going to coach again?
I don't think so. I think the Olympics ruined it for him. I think that Olympics in, what was that, 14?
14.
Yeah, I think that ruined it. I think a lot of people said, you know what, Dan Bylsma had a lot of talent around him in Pittsburgh, and maybe Crosby and Malkin underachieved, and they gave him that pass. But then when he went to the Olympics, and literally the exact same thing happened, where he dominated in the round robin and then just gets humiliated when it counted, I think that's what buried him as far as a head coach.
I agree with that. That's
fair.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I would agree, because you don't really see as much with recycled coaches in baseball. You get to see some, like Gabe Kapler and Brad Ausmus, but for the most part, you usually see a new face come up within the organization, or they find someone from a different organization and usually get the job done. Because, like, I feel bad for Dave Roberts in the MLB. I really do. For being as good as he is in the regular season and was able to make it to back-to-back World Series, and, you know, with the one that you lose to the Houston Astros, and then in the second one where I guess it was reviewed that they didn't cheat in the playoffs, you know, cheat with finger quotes, they lose in five to the Red Sox. Like, he's not a – it's his first coaching job, and he was able to do what he could, but – come up that short. I don't know. I just wanted to bring up, I felt bad for him.
He coaches the Dodgers, so I do not feel bad, but I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, I mean, I have a tough time feeling bad for a guy that's got a $300 million payroll, and he can just look down his bench and say, oh, yeah, you're a starter on every other team in this league, but, you know, you're on our bench here, so.
I feel bad for him, not the Dodgers, if that makes sense.
I don't know, man. Brian Snicker's got a lot harder decisions to make with his bench than Dave Roberts does.
Yeah, Freddie Gonzalez was the man, I thought.
Oh, I hated that son of a bitch all the time.
All right, while we're at it, let's move on over to some baseball. I mean, not really too much to talk about, because I think next week will be the big primer for us. I don't think Zach will be with us next week, but Jeff and myself should be able to kind of get a full onslaught of upcoming baseball, because we're 10 days away as of right now from opening day. And I mean, are we excited for this, honestly? Because I'm going to be watching these games, but I don't think it's going to be the same as like an April opening day. I mean, barring all these circumstances, it can't be, but for the amount of excitement and the amount of joy that usually comes on that first day of baseball, watching the highlights and everything else, I don't think I'm going to have that. And that's going to hurt a little bit, but damn it, I'm still going to be watching the TV. So what about you guys?
I will say that I'm actually excited, and you guys know that I am not the primary baseball fan. I think, you know, the more clips I watch and the more when they talk about like inter-squad scrimmages and stuff like that on the radio or even TV where they show like a brief highlight, like it's getting me excited just because I realize it's about 3.5 months overdue, it seems like. And just, you know, just longing for something to watch too, I think is a lot of why I'm excited. you know, even if it is just 60 games, it'll at least feel like summer for a little bit. And I think that's just one thing I'm yearning for. So,
yeah, I kind of agree, Zach. Like, I'm just excited to see, like, who was I talking to about this? I think I was talking to my girlfriend's brother about this, but, like, yeah, I tried to watch NASCAR. I tried to do, like, soccer. And, like, I can't even say I gave the Korean Baseball League a shot because, like, I'm just not getting up at 5 to watch baseball. Like, it's just not going to happen. But, like, I'm just excited to be able to watch sports that, like, I understand what's going on. I know who these people are. I know what they're, like, capable of, or, like, I have some kind of way to know what I'm watching. And I think that's what I'm most excited for. And not to mention the fact that I can actually start, like, gambling on stuff I somewhat know about. So, I think between, you know, rooting for my two favorite teams again, which I've missed a ton, and, you know, being able to just, like, have that extra, like, rush of, like, gambling on sports when you, like, you're confident in your pick and, like you just have, like, that rush of, like, okay, let's go, boys, and, like, you almost feel like part of the team almost. Like, that's what I'm excited for.
So, like, getting back to what you said earlier about at least you attempted to watch NASCAR, I think it's very difficult to get into, but if you're able to watch the final 8 laps or the final 10 laps of the race, that's when it all usually, like, you get to see some of the bigger moves.
Not the race I watched. So here, can we go over my NASCAR watch since we're kind of talking about, like, getting into sports and everything?
Absolutely.
All right, so I forget what race this was. This was probably about a month ago or whatever. And my buddy texts me and he goes, "Hey man, you interested in betting on NASCAR today?" I go, "Yeah, sure. What the hell? It's Sunday. There's nothing on TV. We're playing like NBA online or whatever." So, we're like, "Okay, what do we like here?" And the Rivers offered a bet that, like, you can bet on the manufacturer of the car to win. So, like, do you think, like, a Ford's going to win it or Toyota? So we're like, oh, like, the Toyota's got, like, in pole position, they got, like, the top 10, probably 4 out of the 10 were Toyota cars. So we're like, yeah, we'll go Toyota. They got some good odds, good little bit of value. All right. So Toyota starts out in front, then we're in, like, second place. Kind of stays that way the whole way through, pretty much. We get to, like, lap 60, so, like, we know we're getting ready to hunker down here. We don't have to really panic yet, but it's time to start hunkering down, looking, see if they're going to make some moves, what when they're going to go into pit for the last time and everything like that, you know, because I'm a NASCAR expert. And and so, like, the guy goes to pit. He's in, like, I think he ends up getting him in, like, third. He gets back into second, no problem. But I believe it was Kyle Busch. I could be wrong on this, but for the sake of it, we'll say Kyle Busch was leading with 58 laps to go. And our guy who was driving the Toyota, I don't even remember his name because I just didn't care. I just knew he drove a Toyota car. And I'm just thinking, like, okay, there's 58 laps left. Like, the guy in last place has been getting lapped for the last half an hour. Like, every time we're on the track, he's getting lapped. So, like, he's going to run into the guy in first place because you would think, like, competitive nature, you just get pissed off enough that, like, all right, well, if I'm going to be miserable, you're going to be miserable too. Mm-hmm. I'm going to, like, fishtail you or something. Nope. Kyle Busch essentially got to put the car in cruise control for the last 58 laps and cruise to a victory. And the Toyota car that I needed to come in first to win some cash came in second, and I won nothing. That's why I can't watch NASCAR anymore.
So really, it's just because you lost your bet. It's not because it wasn't a good race.
But it wasn't a good race. Dave, did you not listen? Like, Kyle Busch got to do what everybody does on the parkway when they, or I'm sorry, not the parkway, the turnpike when they drive from Pittsburgh to Philadelphia. Just throw it in cruise control and, you know, you're good. No one's going to hit you, nothing. That's not the NASCAR I want to watch. I want to see, like, I don't want to see guys, like, crash, but I want to see, like, you know, like, some bumping, some aggressive driving. Like, give me something to be like, oh, man, this guy's going to get pissed. Like, he's coming around a bend here. Like, there was none of that. It wasn't even close.
Dude, there was a race on Friday. My buddies were over for a couple drinks because I'm not a NASCAR person either. But I think it's like the AAA of NASCAR. I don't know what that's called exactly, but it was like the minor league NASCAR. And at, I guess the race had just finished and these two guys were pushing each other. It was absolutely wild. Like, and going off of what you just said, if you could guarantee me that excitement every race, like, sign me up. Like, I would, I have like whatever the NASCAR red zone is. Like, I would be watching different cars, like tuning in for fights and stuff like that. But the fact is, like, I just don't want to watch 500 laps of someone passing someone. And like, you know, it's not my sport. And I did try to get into it. I tried to get into anything that I could just watch, but you know, you give me drama, you give me some fights, like, you know, but until then, I'd rather watch 90 Day Fiance, to be honest.
I think it's great to have on in the background if you're cleaning your house, honestly.
Nope.
It's just background noise.
Nope.
He said nope.
Not close. Jeff, nope.
Jeff NASCAR is forever done, scarred from NASCAR done now.
At 11:04. I can tell you that right now.
All right. I tried convincing him, but it's not going to work. I mean, I'm not even that huge of a NASCAR fan, but my bet worked out on the Daytona 500 before this whole pandemic hit. So that's why I'm okay with, I'm on good terms with them right now.
Yeah, no, they suck.
So this shows you how excited we are for baseball, right?
Yeah, 100%.
I need to talk about my fantasy baseball pick with you guys.
Yeah,
see, Zach, this is what's bringing us back.
Yeah, real quick though, I have a theory that I've been kind of thinking about for like the first maybe about 5 games or so for baseball. And when I mean games, I mean like the first 5 days of baseball that we're gonna have. I've been thinking of betting the under on like a lot of games, like depending on pitching matchups, but. Like, I'm thinking the majority of the games to start out, the under is going to hit pretty heavily. What do you guys think on that?
From what I've heard on how training camps, summer camp is going for a lot of these teams, it's so much fun to say summer camp, too. It's so corny.
I just think of Austin Riley. Yeah, Austin Riley from the Braves. And, like, he's telling his, like, girlfriend or whatever, I gotta go to summer camp. And, like, the Timmy Turner, like, echoing of camp at the end of it, like on Fairly Oddparents. That's what I think of, like all like the young kids that are like, you know, that's like 22 or 23 going to camp. Like, oh, I gotta go to summer camp.
But it sounds like the pitchers are much farther ahead than the hitters right now when it comes to where they're at with their play. So, I mean, hell, we could even see the potential combined no hitters. In the 60-game stretch.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because, like, I feel like all hitters have been doing this whole time is just, like, teamwork, right? There's no way they're seeing, like, anything close to, you know, it, like, game-like pitches or anything, right?
I mean, I think your theory at the beginning of the year is going to be correct. Bet the under a lot. But eventually, it should roll over into these hitters getting back into a groove with every day, just playing every day.
So yeah, exactly. So to flip that again, since we're also doing hockey on like return to play, and I want to get Zach involved in this. Zach, what do you think of overs hitting for hockey off the hop?
Oh, I mean,
or do you think it's too systematic because coaches will say, "All right, we'll ease into this." To protect the goaltenders because they're not seeing game-like shots either.
I would almost think that option just not being, you know, it's the first action they're going to see in a while. So I'd almost think it's like a conservative, slowly ramp-up approach, whereas it's going to be like, I don't know. I can just see it playing out that way. But it's – I hadn't even honestly thought about betting in hockey yet just because I still can't believe it's coming back.
Right, yeah. I've just been, like, thinking because, like, I just enjoy gambling on sports so much. Like, not that I'm, like, a degenerate and I'm losing, like, hundreds upon hundreds, but, like, I enjoy just throwing it down just to, like, make a game more interesting or whatever, especially that, like, we're literally going to have access to, like, every game pretty much. So, like, you know, there's going to be a game between, like, for baseball, it'll be, like, the Padres and, like, I don't know, the Seattle Mariners, where I just don't care who wins. But, like, I'm going to want to watch it because it's been taken away from me for so long.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I could definitely. I'll be tuning into some of those games. So
that was a great example of games that you don't want to watch, but because it's there and you haven't seen it for a while, you're going to anyway.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because like from my understanding, like FS1's going to be carrying games like around the clock, right?
That I don't know. I haven't looked into the scheduling.
I saw their first like Fox Saturday baseball like that they do, and they're doing like a quadruple header that day. That starts at like noon and ends at, and the last game starts at 8. So like, I don't know if every day is going to be like that, but like, I know I wouldn't hate it.
So I wanted to see if you guys could maybe answer this question. So I have both the NHL Game Center and MLB at Bat, and like, you know, I go in it with my fantasy leagues and we like pay for it and stuff. Does anyone know how that's going to work yet in terms of what games we're going to get? Like, I mean, mainly because those are normally just through the app itself and not like a, you know, I'd almost think that like blackout games would go away, but then I can also see how they want to rob you of that. So wasn't sure if you guys had heard anything.
I don't know how that's going to work. I mean, my MLB TV sure as hell better work because
yeah, exactly.
Like, the Braves have been taken away from me for way too long, and like that would be the worst gift the MLB could give me for my birthday, which is on Saturday. Send happy birthdays at @jchrist_51. But yeah, like if that doesn't work, which I assume it would, because it sounds like they're still doing like the regional broadcasts like normal, but they would do like in studio or whatever. Like, I don't know if they'll be in the ballpark or not, but like they're still covering the games.
I was just curious because, like, you know, you haven't heard a peep out of these companies that, like, you know, the NHL Game Center and MLB at Bat, that's like kind of told you like what's going on with your subscription. And like, granted, I'm sure there's still a ton of stuff to figure out, but I mean, like, you know, if there's any chance of a refund or at least pointing us in the right direction of where we're at, it'd be nice to know.
So, Zach, let me ask you this then. Would you void the refund, say, I don't need a refund, but let me use it for just open it up completely? Like,
yeah,
like, oh, void your blackouts, all that garbage, and say, this is what we're, you know, we'll let you watch whatever you want playoff-wise for the rest of the year, but you're still going to be charged what you paid at the beginning of the year.
100%. I mean, I think at this point, and we've pretty much summed it up in this podcast about all the things we've been trying to get into and with sports wise that I'm down to watch anything right now. And even if that is what teams did you use? Mariners and Padres? Padres game. And, you know, if I'm sitting around having a couple drinks, like, sign me up. Like, I would rather keep the subscription and watch any level versus reach out and get a refund or any compensation. So
Right. I would agree with you 100%. Give me the programming, and I'll pay you what I paid at the beginning of the year. I mean, it's not really my issue because my buddy gives me his username and password because I'm a scumbag. But, I mean,
wow.
Like, he was just like, you know, it's stupid for both of us to pay it. I already have a subscription, so I'll, you know, he gave me the stuff. But, yeah, like, if I was paying, that's how I would look at it.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I, not having MLB Network or NHL, I haven't even thought about that being an issue for myself or anyone else that carries that. So that's, I don't even think that's something that's ever been really talked about throughout any types of media except for right here. So really, we're breaking ground on this issue.
Yeah, look at us, a small little podcast.
Yeah,
exactly. So Zach, you had a new thing in fantasy, correct?
And it's something real brief. I can sum it up in about 2 minutes and tell you guys who I picked, because we always talk before the show, but I kind of withheld this from you guys. So essentially, our commissioner kind of reached out and was like, look, what are your thoughts? What's everyone's thoughts about adding an extra roster spot? Everyone, I think there's 12 teams in the league. Each of you get a day to pick, like, you know, as the season ramps up. And, you know, pretty much, I wouldn't say bottom of the barrel players. Like, there was, I think my pick's really good. But, you know, just names that got picked over on the draft and whatnot. So today was my day to pick. I think we had the third of 12 selections, so we got up there early. And if you remember, and I'll kind of summarize my team and let you know what I was thinking when I made the decision. So I drafted Chris Sale, or actually traded for Chris Sale, traded Bryce Harper for Chris Sale before the Tommy John surgery happened, which naturally F me, right? so I was like, okay, if I have any chance to compete, I feel like I need a pitcher. My current rotation is Corbin, Kluber, McCullers, Odorizzi, John Gray, and then my closers are Iglesias and Gallegos, which I'm very happy about Gallegos because I found out Jordan Hicks opted out this year today, which is awesome.
Yep.
So I would think that you guys might think I need another arm, right? You know, like it just seems like I could use another power arm. So check the waiver wire to see who was out there today. And lo and behold, I feel like I got a steal. I got Nate Pearson from the Blue Jays.
Nice.
Granted, he might
not. That dude throws gas.
Yeah, I was going to say these players are eligible to be kept if need be. So while I don't expect him to do a ton this year, he's a power arm and, you know, definitely someone I'd look at keeping potentially next year. So to find him in an extra added draft of a fantasy baseball league, I'm in.
It's a low risk, high reward pickup.
Yeah, right? That's how you're, at least I think, should attack that position. You're not looking to add someone that's going to be doing the heavy lifting because there really isn't in that position. You're looking for someone that could help you out in the future, and that's a very good pick.
Hey, you know what's even better, Zach, too? I think the Braves only play him like once in this whole season too, so like you only have to send him for like 3 games.
Yeah, but like I even said, I didn't go to the extensive research to look up what the Blue Jays rotation is. I'll be honest with you, how I know of Nate Pearson is I used him on MLB The Show, and he was hitting like 102 constantly, and even like you know, like high hundreds almost every time, or like, you know, above 100 every time. So I'm like, okay, like this could be worth it. And then lo and behold, I see him sitting there and I'm like, okay, like even if he doesn't do anything this year, it's an investment piece for the future. So wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that because I'm pretty stoked about it, probably more so than I should be, but that's what, you know, month 4 without sports. So
I mean, their top three being their newly acquired pitcher, Hyunjin Ryu, Tanner Roark, and Chase Anderson. Matt Shoemaker's there too, but I'd say that the first three names I mentioned are kind of their top three in the rotation, and everyone else that they're showing as under rotation on the Toronto Blue Jays website isn't someone I think is even worth mentioning. I think that Nate Pearson's probably going to be that taxi squad guy that will make an appearance if an injury were to come up for them, so... Yeah, right now they don't even have him listed as one of the top guys on their roster this year. So you're basically building for the future, which if you can also win this year is a win-win.
Hell yeah. And it's funny, I knew exactly who I drafted, but since we started talking about hockey, I almost called him Tanner Pearson. I would have been pissed. So I have to go up and look up the rankings one more time just to make sure I got it right. But yeah, I appreciate you guys' insight here, and yeah, it should shape out to be a pretty good year. So, I mean, we should see.
Can I say one thing about the Blue Jays before we wrap up this show?
Oh, this is going to be good.
They kind of just took all of the older baseball players that we watched as kids and took all of their children. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., obviously the son of Vladimir Guerrero. Bo Bichette, who's the son of Dante Bichette. And Kevin Biggio, who's the son of Craig Biggio. Like, are they trying to just see if they can have the, you know, the essence of their Hall of Fame dads? And I think Dante Bichette, he was at least flirting with that. Are they trying to get what their fathers had in the MLB before and put it onto one team?
Doesn't hurt. Yeah.
They also got Reese McGuire from the Pirates. And I remember when he was going to be a really good player for the Pirates.
Yeah, and that was all to just get rid of Francisco when you're on his contract, too, which is even more hilarious.
And all Reese McGuire's done is jerk off in a Florida parking lot and get cited for it. So, I mean,
I think that's a great spot to end the show, honestly.
One more thing on the Blue Jays. Do you guys remember the year that they, like, went all in and they got Troy Tulowitzki and David Price?
Yep.
How awesome was that? Like, I became a Blue Jays fan because that's when the Braves were really bad, too. Like, we were still in rebuild mode, and we rebuild quicker than the Pirates have in the last 20 years. But, like, I just remember, like, that deadline, and they're like, David Price to Toronto, and I'm like, let's go. Like, I was so pumped for the city of Toronto and, like, just Canada in general, just because it's, like, it's a different team out of the AL East that's going to the playoffs. Like, that was just so awesome, and the Rogers Center was bumping that day.
Was that the same year that Jose Bautista threw his bat to the moon against the
Rangers? Yeah, like, that was one of the coolest moments I ever saw live. I watched it at Burgatory in Murraysville.
Wow. You'll never forget where you are in a Burgatory in Murraysville. Right, I've been to that Burgatory, by the way, so, I mean, hey.
All right, let's do the damn dance and wrap this up, shall we?
Sounds good.
Yup.
I think I'll just lead off first because I think mine's going to be, you know, bottom tier compared to your guys. But I'm just going to give my MVP to Voodoo Ranger in 1985. That beer was simply phenomenal over the weekend. It was a mango IPA, and it was the first of two six-packs that I picked up that weekend. After work, I like to reward myself by getting some beer for the weekend, some good beer. And I took a chance on that, and I will make sure that I get this again. And now I'm telling everyone else how good it is. And, you know, if you're of age, go out and try this because I think it's amazing.
If you're of age. Jeff, you want to go? I'm still thinking of mine.
Yeah, MVP of the week. I'll go with Dave's weekend pick, but I'm gonna go with my girlfriend's sister, Catherine. Her dog, Shiloh, actually took her first swim this weekend. She had a little incident when we went to the beach earlier in June, where she was running around the pool and she had fallen in the pool accidentally. And, like, when she fell in the pool, like, it wasn't like she didn't get hurt or anything, but, like, you could tell when she, like, got in the water, she's like, oh my God, bad idea. I gotta get out. So, fast forward to this past weekend, we're hanging out in the creek and she was kind of doing like a cry. Like, she wanted Catherine to like come to her and on shore, but like she started like inching out into the creek, and she started like swimming on her own out to us. And in the creek where we swim, there's like this really big rock that, like, I mean, it's like a boulder that's in this creek, and you can like jump off it, and the water's deep enough, it's kind of like jumping into a pool. So Shiloh gets on this rock, she's excited, she's, you know, running around all over the place, and Catherine goes, you know, I wonder if I jump in if she'll come after me. And sure enough, Catherine jumps in, and sure enough, Shiloh's right behind her and jumps in, and she kind of, like, started figuring out how to, like, swim for the first time and everything, and it was, like, a really cool thing to see, like, a dog, like, figure out how to swim. Like, it was kind of I don't know. Maybe it was one of those things you had to be there to, like, really appreciate it. But it was a really cool moment. So shout out to Shiloh on the first swim of your life, and hopefully many more.
You're making me want to go downstairs and toss Greta into the pool right now just to see if I get something some feel good story like that. So my story is going to be nowhere near as cool as that one and life lesson-y as that one, but I'm actually going to pull a Jeff here and give it to my girlfriend Autumn this week for just being awesome. On Saturday, she actually brought me a Starbucks because we had a family gathering along with fruit snacks. So, I mean, that is the way to my heart with either Starbucks and fruit snacks. Clearly why we are dating, so she gets the shout-out for the week.
There you go.
That's a good way to win some points there, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, let's wrap this up. This has been the Icy Takes podcast. You can tune in every week. We have a ton of episodes from before. You can like us on Facebook at Icy Takes with Zach, Jeff, and Big Dave. Follow us on Twitter at Icy Takes, I-C-E-Y Takes, all together one word, because that's the way we like to spell it. And follow the personal Twitters at Big_Dave52.
At ZachMorris82.
At JChrist_51.
Like our Lord and Savior, amen. Hopefully we are back next week better than ever. If you enjoyed the show, you know, tell everyone else about it. You know, it's always nice that, you know, as much as we like to give out our MVP picks to about beers and other people and other shows in general, it's always nice to have someone talk about our show. We really do appreciate it. We're very humble about it. So tell your friends about it. Tell your parents. Tell your grandparents about us. We'll be back next week. But until then, stay icy.